All right, folks, I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission to order for Wednesday, October 18th, 2023. Please set your phones on stun and let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. We call roll, please.
Present.
Here.
Andrew Rodman.
Present.
Sarah Innes.
Here.
Dave Papillon.
Here.
Ron Ware, absent. Robert O'Keefe.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Present. We have a quorum. Next up is the approval of minutes from September 20th. 2023, which September 2023 was the 15th anniversary of the flood of 2008, which you could see some greening pictures on over there. Have you all had a chance to review? Any comments, questions, motions? What say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from September 20th of 2023.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Be there or none, roll call vote. Mrs. Lambert.
Affirmative.
Tom Garcetti.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick.
Yes.
Sarah
Nimitz? Yes.
Dave
Papillon? Yes.
Robert
Ochi? Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Abstain.
William Baker?
Yes. They're out there for everybody to see. Go to the website. Those are there for all the way back to how long? 10 minutes from ever?
84.
Back to the 80s. Big fan. Next up is the chairman's report. As we go into the winter, believe it or not, this is still a $275 million man-made flood control project that if you get 10 gallons of water for this 5-gallon bucket, there's going to be a challenge. However, we're far better prepared today than we were prior to the events of September 2008. It's an ongoing thing, and it's an economic development project that will be with us as a region for a very long time. We continue to try to work through the issues to make sure it creates a system that works throughout the community and throughout the watershed. Moving forward, we continue to evolve, and now we're starting to focus on some of the tributaries and some of the places that are not as high profile, but to work with all the communities in the watershed to make sure that we don't have any situations anywhere in the watershed similar to what happened in September 2008. That being said, let's move through the finance report and approval of the claims. We need a motion to be able to move this along. Gentlemen, what say you?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we go ahead and approve the claims in the amount of $1,337,002.93.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repay, some of the highlights.
Absolutely.
Paying some bills. 1.3, that's a lot of scratch, man.
Yeah, it's the sort of the end of the season. People are starting to wind some of the projects down. And I have pictures in my report to sort of document most of these higher paying projects. We'll start with $300,000 from the town of Winfield. I believe Commissioner Gazdecki brought this up as to how they come and when they build anything. They haven't built anything yet. They generally are a community that waits till the very end, in which, and this is the case, they billed $300,000, which is the total amount due to them per our interlocal agreement. I have that project is complete and sufficient to their standards. Town of Sherrillville for their Eagle Creek culvert, that's $222,500. That project is complete, and the road is now open. Lake County Parks, $113,500. That was our interlocal agreement with them to knock down the environmental center buildings as well as ripping down the old fence. They haven't put the new fence up as of a week ago, but this is a partial payment for them. Division of Nature Preserves, $97,092. This is a reimbursement for work that is occurring through our interlocal with Indiana DNR to maintain the Hobart Marsh area. And then we have a little bit, I mean, they're not super small, but they're smaller. As far as fixing the Harrison Street retaining wall, that was an issue that was brought up by the Corps that wanted to fix in the last inspection. So we've done it. HA24, which is the sluice gate that's located by the BMV off of Indianapolis Boulevard, that's $13,042. And then we replaced the bridge planks on several bridges prior to what is going to be required as a bridge inspection for all pedestrian bridges that we have crossing over the river. We have to do those every 5 years. And another one I'll just leave with this is the $19,742 for the Deepwater Watershed. In my report to you, they will have or should have Turkey Creek and Big Beaver Dam Ditch tributaries complete of that model in December, and then with the remaining Deep River Burns Ditch done and complete in spring of 2024. I think I've hit some of them. If you got some,
anybody have any questions for Mr. Repay about paying the bills?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for Mr. Wicklund. I work for the Division of Nature Reserves and represent the Indiana Department of Natural Resources. There is an invoice for $97,000. Do I recuse myself from this vote?
I would say recuse yourself from voting in.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Mr. Repay on the invoices?
Yes.
Mr. Gostek.
And I know on the project tracker we have the Hobart Marsh mitigation, a $200,000. Is that for the year?
That's they do their year biennial, which is $100,000 every year is what is budgeted for maintenance and upkeep of that out there.
But we only spend $97,000, so
when their fiscal year ends, what is it, July 30th or June 30th? Their fiscal year ends June 30th, and so they have up until that.
We'll have another draw against that.
Right, there will be a second year.
Okay,
correct.
And then what happened with Cassie's budget on the plank replacement?
I put down the planks that I thought were necessarily need to be removed. Garcia and Hassie believed more that I was being too conservative.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Either or not, we got a motion in the second. Mrs. Lambert.
Thomas, thank you.
In favor.
Tom Bezzetti.
Yes.
Anthony Broadnick.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
I recuse myself from this vote.
Dave Castellano?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. Paying the bills. Mr. Repay, moving right along. What's going on in the field?
Good job. I'm just going to go through pictures. If you like pictures. And I'm just going to go through basically what's going out there. This is a sort of a recap. We completed all the work in Hart's Ditch as far as the major clearing of the problem trees that we found. That will likely be the last time we're going to need to go through it, assuming that we continue with the stabilization work that we're doing through phase three now that is currently in permit, and then we'll go 4-5. But, it's a big number eventually. But these are the type of problems that we see. You saw the culvert that's collapsed. You see the head wall here that's collapsing with the erosion, which ultimately leads to backyards and everyone else falling in. So that's Hart's Ditch. This is the Hidden Lake culvert replacement. This is the one that took the place out in Winfield. The completed work, I didn't go out there for the before necessarily because it's just a completed thing. But these are the culverts that were installed. This is, if you remember, there was a lot of press about it, but this is also the dividing line between Winfield and Maryville. So it was cooperation between both Winfield, Maryville, and our money.
Are those the structures right there?
Correct, in the water afterwards. And this is the completed, this is the completed road. You see them over here on the left, see them over here on the right. They were upsized a little bit. Make sure that it didn't impact anybody negatively to the left, which is downstream. To the right is south, and that's upstream.
Are they going to put guardrails there?
No.
So nothing's going to prevent somebody from driving off the road, crashing into the new structures?
Stay off your bone.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, how many roads do we see that all over the place?
That's an animal.
This is Sarman Woods. As you see,
Crown Point.
This is the grass growing in. You see the structure there in the distance. That is in the northwest corner of the pond. The pond now is completely dug, and now they're trying to attach the infrastructure. This is the long view of it. They haven't put, they didn't put the grass or the seeds down back here in the south portion just yet. But as you see, everything's starting to fill in now. And then the last part is they have to lay all this great culvert that will soon happen. I asked for an update on a schedule. I'm still waiting for that update from Structure Point and from the city of Crown Point, who's running the project. Kennedy Avenue Sandbar. This is a good one. We contracted with Maryville Stormwater. They have the Marsh Master. There was no Marsh Master available. I think Derek had them all under lock and key, or like there was not anyone. So Maryville, as you know, we went to their place, had a Marsh Master, and it was for a small amount of money, or a decent amount of money for them to go out there. It helped us put better eyes on it. It helped us put a better survey together. But this gives you a perspective of how much silt and sediment is there now. I'm in the middle of the river.
It's inside the actual engineered structure.
And I'm looking east. So that what you see there is the Kennedy Avenue Bridge. And you start
seeing it mowed now.
Well, it's not going to be mowed long because there's going to be a bunch of phragmites popping up anytime now. So we have to hurry up and get in there. And then this is looking south. West.
Wow.
And you have, this is the pedestrian bridge. The high transmission line would be just beyond that is the pipeline corridor. This is one of the culverts. This is, if I was looking directly north into that pond at Optimus Lake, you see the beaver has basically burnt a trail in the system getting up and down the thing. And so this is a before, this is an aerial.
You're going to fix that, right? Because we'll get written up for that. Right.
We do. So we're putting together a plan with between John Garcia and Mr. Paul Daniels to find a way to make it as efficient as possible to build up the levees without transporting too much dirt out, which is a cost factor. Because we know that it will happen again, but in the short period, we think we can get some years out of it to allow for the bridge to eventually be built, and then we have a better sense of what we need to do to shape it. So this is a aerial photo time lapse over time to show you what
time lapse.
Just it's right. A time lapse. So I'm getting technically savvy with other people. So you kind of have the bridge on your right, pedestrian bridge on your left. Right is east, so you start seeing it how it fills in over time.
Nice.
It also has something to do with the time change with the summer and stuff, but you see this, you're starting to see this sandbar build up out here
right there where your arrow is going toward Kennedy Avenue. That is what we're under monitoring right now, right?
We're going to end up, I should pause it actually. This is where you saw that picture of the beaver going in and out. This is the outfall of Optimus Lake. The goal is, if you follow the cursor, is to take this and basically run it straight across and take out all this material and push it along the bank.
I'm talking about the previous project we did where we had to set aside.
Oh, yeah.
What happens with that contract?
So
once we get the right to remove the sediment?
Under the old guidelines, we were told we had to mitigate for it. Under the federal law, Rule 31, which is we are a federal flood control project, we don't have to mitigate for it, which is what we argued 8 years ago. We don't have to mitigate for it. We simply just have to dispose of it.
But 4 or 5 years ago, when we moved stuff,
mm-hmm.
we had to monitor that moved dirt.
Right, which is right here.
For invasive species, correct. So is that contract still in place? And
it's done. We're done monitoring. It's a 5-year monitor.
Thank you. How many invasive species came in?
Some. But it's going to be the ones that are typical for a river. You're not going to be able to stop them.
There's only one because it kills everything else.
What is it? The purple loosestrife was the killer. Isn't that the one? And then we had some phragmites. But anyways, there's your time lapse. Video. So
now with an area, go back to that aerial, just from where the outfall is from Optimus Lake.
Yeah, I'll stop it here.
And then going west towards the pedestrian bridge. Yep. You're not planning on taking any of that material?
Yeah, we're going to take some of it, but we're not going to go beyond the pedestrian bridge because there are so many pipelines that run in this area that it could, I mean, you don't.
So you're eventually going to have to because you can see it's turning into a bottleneck. So at some point, you're going to have to pull the Band-Aid off and do something.
Correct.
So
right here,
clean it up.
Right now, we already have material built up here, which we are going to have to get someone in to get it out, which we have someone. We're waiting because we want to time it to get all the material out of here, too. So we're going to try to get both places, this one and this one at the same time, probably in the next month.
So would we have to involve the railroad for that one, or is that just a pipeline concern?
No, it's just a pipeline
concern. And how many different ownerships, I mean, and ownership entities are there in that particular location of pipelines?
Ish is six.
Six.
Mm-hmm. You've got BP, you've got NIFCO, okay. You have Wolverine.
Everybody.
You have, I think you have AT&T fiber optic. You got stuff. Moving on to Eagle Ridge Culvert, we paid the bill for this. This is the after. This is the culvert that they replaced. This is what it.
Better than that tin thing that was
there. Yeah, the tin thing rusted away. So this is my pictures of it. It had better pictures, but I.
No guardrail.
Yeah, no guardrail.
You're driving on our culverts, man.
The after road. So you have the thing. So this is the Kmart break, which is should be complete. By this time or the time we meet in November, everything's slowly but surely. We've got some minor issues that we got
to
deal with.
So when that thing gets going, could you do a video to see how it works when it's churning and all the cool stuff? And
absolutely.
What kind of lawn chairs come out of there?
Beach ball. So here, we talked about it in work study. It was the Hobart Beaver Dam. This is the dam from afar. Having been out there this morning, it's approximately 4 foot differential from where you see this duckweed to the lower spot. And if I hit this next picture, you'll see a better sense of what that is. It doesn't even give it that good of pressure. Route 6 is up here for your viewing pleasure. But
so we're facing north.
We're facing north. There's probably 4 feet here. There's another beaver dam here that probably is holding back a foot or so, and then there's a last one that's right off of six that's probably holding another foot.
And
so,
then for the public record, just I'm sorry, Dan, is that this is on private property and not with no easements available for access, and it was just brought to our attention from a resident who rides a bike nearby and found this 4 foot differential. And is this ranked up there with the largest beaver dams you've seen since we've been doing this?
It is. It's roughly 100 feet long, and I think, like I said, at least 4 feet. The only one that
matches, like a resort.
Yeah, the only one that matches this one is the one that is between Grant Street and Chase Street, with as far as length and height. And by the way, that one is slowly making its way back. We've got to deal with that one. But he wasn't on his bike. He was a neighbor that lived upstream of this that was having water come onto his property more and more. His sump pump kept on going off and on. And
the water's not moving.
Correct.
Thank you. And how many, is it a mile away?
His property?
Yes.
More than a half mile, but not probably quite a mile. Because he has to, from where this is, it goes underneath a culvert, underneath a bike trail, and then you go a little bit. So
as you go south from where this dam is, how far south do you go for residents that are impacted by this dam?
A few miles in both east and south. So to Cleveland Street, at least.
What would happen on a major event? Would these beaver dams just overtop?
Well, they would overtop, but then the beavers would then start getting smart and using it as an opportunity to keep on pushing more stuff against it. They keep on getting higher.
But so there's the watershed has to go through a culvert to get to this private property?
The water has to get through a culvert to, yes.
And so how much of that culvert is now obstructed by the water level in this ditch?
It's more than 3/4 full. They've been measuring it because that's where about the neighbor lives. And he said it was 33 inches full at earlier this spring. It's now 48 inches full.
How big is the culvert? 60?
I think it's 60. I mean, I have more pictures.
So what are the recourse? What is the action from the, what do the city of Hobart do?
Someone needs to petition the Lake County Drainage Board. To Bill's point, there is no easement, so they need to force the issue with the drainage board to make the landowner allow that to be removed. The landowner doesn't have to remove it at their expense. The petitioner can have it removed at the petitioner's expense, but the landowner has to allow him access, him or her access to it.
Yeah, we've seen that movie.
It's probably one of the most difficult situations, because normally when we get called, people want things removed or they need our assistance. This landowner, I believe, does not want that, or we know that he doesn't want it. They believe they want more beavers to have the habitat that they do. I won't speak for them generally because
will anybody flood if there's a major event? If only one
definitely flood. Could, because what would happen, I can see from being there, is County Line Road could flood. That could be impassable because just not enough water. If you're filled at 48 inches out of 60,
right,
a decent rain, now all of a sudden, where's that water going? Well, it's going to go.
Can you put that back instead of me looking at this one?
Oh, sorry. You want to look at another one?
No.
All right, sorry. Hold on.
Oh, and you have video, you have timeline. I'm sorry to bring up this one.
Come on. It's
Yeah.
All right.
So to the questions for the, you know, the big huge flooding issue, and then you're going to the birds.
Well, I wish I could get going on this. But so the question, what do you want, the video? Do you want the
no, this is just leave it the way
you
it
want
is.
To see the video.
No, I
so just, what kind of, so you have a foot of freeboard maybe with the road height another foot?
Correct. Maybe a little bit more than a foot.
What's the elevation change from that water level to the
where
at the end of all the beaver dams, where it drops off?
Estimated, just having been out there today, probably 5 to 6 feet of a drop in probably a half mile. I mean, when this, if and so when
can't somebody just declare like state of emergency or?
So if there's an event and there's a real issue, who's going to go out there and do something with the culvert that's now 3/4?
Well, it's not the culvert that's the problem. It's that it's.
I understand. But if that's not removed, I'm assuming the culvert's still going to be full. So when it gets to be 100% full and there's issues, who responds and how does that? I would suggest that you maybe have a conversation with the individual who's a part of our group from the city of Hobart and kind of just put that out there to start thinking about what's going to happen.
It's going to be reactionary. That's it. It's like,
oh, I see. I'm not a big fan.
I'm not either. Trust me. I'm not. We got this phone call or email at 3 o'clock yesterday.
Capisce, I get it.
And we were there, but we have to work through the county's process unless.
Right. And then while that's going through all of that bureaucracy, just to talk to the people in the Hobart who are going to have to show up there when all, you know, shiitake hits the fan.
Well, they were out there with us. I mean, they saw it. The councilman for that.
So you know what? They're going to blame us when it doesn't work right. So that's all I'm asking.
We will paper the deal.
Thank you. All right. Anything else on that one? That's going to be a fun one. That's brand new. I want to know about swans and
how. Well, this is another last minute thing. Sort of last minute, but myself and Derek were both copied on the email that Humane Indiana had to recover these 6 trumpeter swans that are, which are rare or endangered to Indiana.
Dangerous.
And they found them on the expressway. Their test. The
Mormon?
Yes. Their nest was off of Martin Luther King, between Martin Luther King and I-65.
Mm-hmm.
These were the juveniles that walked free and decided to get on the expressway. They saved them. They rehabilitated them, and they emailed us as to, could we let them go in your place? And I said, fine.
Yeah. Where's
so
the place?
Off of Grant Street.
Oh.
And so that is what they did this morning at around 9:45 or so.
Oh, cool.
With the help of NIPSCO and Humane Indiana, and we allowed them on our property. And so these are the 6 little, see, you already saw the video, so it's really not going to be as exciting, but
it is very exciting.
Let's see. I got sound. All right, sorry. Anyways, they see, I like this. I got time lapse and swan, Bill. They need
your technology and repertoire.
I know.
Very much.
I'm really disappointed that the canvases and
so are they going to track these animals or you can't?
And
so
I don't want to tell you why you can't, because
I'm sure there's a good reason.
You can't ban animals unless you have a particular person that is a master at that, and it's a government regulation. But the whole point is. Yeah, there's a joke, but there's a so they need, I think they need 1,000 feet to take off. So that marsh area is perfect for them. They need to they're figuring things out and they're right. Eating
where the runway is and where the
yeah, hopefully
are.
They don't see a fox or coyote. That,
so I guess my question is, and this maybe is for Mr. Nimitz, is it usually protocol to have some type of recurring visits to the area to see if they can stay there?
I don't know that there's a protocol for that. My understanding is these birds are particular to marsh habitats. They're found in the area. They probably were attracted to a lot of the work that we have been working with Wetlands Initiative and the Audubon Society to restore it. I kind of think of it as the field of dreams. If you restore it, they will return.
Thanks. Now, are they migratory just out of curiosity?
They are. Yeah. Yes.
If the water, I was told today, if the water freezes, they will leave. Similar to eagles, if there's no food source. But if I'm going to tell you, that area tends not to freeze because there's constant water flow in that area from the storm water. So they like to eat the mud or whatever they're eating. But I go out there quite often, so it'd be curious. And I told the people that were out there today that I would keep an eye on to see if I have noticed them. So, but that was my morning. Really excited about it.
Okay.
And Field of Dreams. That's a pretty good analogy.
It is. Thank you.
So that's all I've got. No more birds.
All right. Anything else from the monthly report?
Not that I can.
Got it. Any questions for Mr. Repay? What's going on in the field? Also, just as an aside, during this portion of it is working on budget. We're working on projects going into 2024 as well. So, keep that in mind, please, as you move through the process.
Will we need to mow again?
Maybe. Looking at the forecast, next week is supposed to be sunny. Halloween's supposed to be cold. And then the following week's supposed to be really warm, so we may do it again. I did have one last note for the bridge, the pedestrian bridge, and the rail bridge over Manor / what's the one on the M side? Whatever. That is supposed to be placed November 6th. So they're placing the rail bridge and the pedestrian bridge that's now relocated off of Manor,
mm-hmm.
between Manor and between Munster and
Hamlet. So the old Modon Bridge that they took down and put in the South Shore tracks are in now. They're going to go back and put the Modon pedestrian bridge.
Yeah, but with a bigger span. If you remember, the Modon ones all had the big concrete limestone,
right.
Piers. These will have piers that span it.
Got it.
They'll still be in the river, but not in the channel. But they're placing it. Their plan is to do it November 6th. In case you,
it'll be a big thing, right?
It's gonna be a big thing. There'll be people out there.
Of course, well, the Audubon, were they doing some work on?
Send this an email, will you please, Dan?
Yes. What's that? I will. All
right.
No, I'm.
The Audubon, were they doing some work at the rookery? We're putting in a.
Yeah, they are. Here? They're putting in a. What kind of.
It's to do with the water flow.
Yeah, the restrictor. The restrictor plate, like you say. Passion is actually doing it for them.
Okay. Are they done with it or no?
No. I just saw a picture today at our O&M meeting, and they're still, they got to put the wing walls in, but they're farther along than what they are. So they're going to be able to control the water in that area a lot better than. Hopefully, and they sprayed the frag bodies off of Klein Avenue.
Yeah.
And was there another structure they were putting in at MLK?
They already put that one in off of Georgia, and that one's complete.
Okay. Now, the one in Highland, that's going to be completed this construction season.
Yes. It should probably be complete by the end of this week.
And are they done then, that whole group, what do they call it, the collaborative? Are they done for this calendar year?
Done with.
I don't
with spraying, I know they finished spraying. I don't think they have a controlled burn or anything planned that I'm aware of. I know they sprayed between Georgia and Martin Luther King. That was about 3 weeks ago. they're really working on these structures now. Mm-hmm. The one that Tom has just mentioned, and the one off of Martin Luther King. But then they're still also looking for planning purposes off of Marshalltown. So done is not. They're working in these two areas that the original areas, but then they're looking to help design the area between Martin Luther King and Marshalltown Terrace.
Yeah. Any other questions for Mr. Repay on what's going on?
Whatever happened with the truck driver that overturned the semi, did they get charged with any missed,
I didn't get the police report yet. The officer said that he would give me, he called me and I reminded him to give me the police report. So I would turn that over to our attorney at that point to see. I mean, I don't know what our damage is besides a couple A-frame gates and some rutting, but I mean, is it worth the rutting? And we could fill that in pretty simple. So, I mean, I'm happy that he didn't do as much damage, and I'm happy that the recovery team that was out there didn't do as much damage as I thought they would end up doing when I went out there the first night.
Nice.
That's good.
All right, anything else for Mr. Repay on this agenda item? Moving right along, update from the Army Corps of Engineers. Mr. Repay.
Yeah, they informed me that they would have all the stuff that we needed to for the administrative and real estate crediting by October, the end of October. So I...
Did you get that in writing?
Yes.
Okay.
I did. So they've got...
Strongly worded?
No, not strongly worded, just average worded.
End of October for all paperwork?
Well, we were told. We asked them...
This isn't getting the e-paper, is it?
What's that?
This isn't actually getting the paper.
Well, it's going to get to the paper, yes. If they come back with no issues, then you get the paper. Oh. And then you can have the party for celebration or whatever you want.
All right, so that's the best we're going to get from the Army Corps of Engineers. Is there a new colonel coming in next year? Or?
No, we got a new colonel, and I don't remember his name, and I apologize, but we got a new colonel in July.
So this is our fifth or sixth colonel?
I was gonna say, is this fifth or sixth?
I think it's sixth.
Sixth colonel.
Yep. Probably you're getting old.
You never will.
I'll need that to tell me.
I'm just going to go get a drink of water.
All right. Then moving right along, other issues, new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2023-13, establishing the policy by which members of the Little Cayman River Basin Development Commission may participate by electronic means of the communication, subject to final draft and approval by attorney, executive director, and chairman.
There's a motion and a second.
Second.
And a second. Thank you very much. Mr. Wicklund, real brief, what's this all about?
The law changed. And in order to comply with the law and the changes, we needed to prepare this resolution.
So we're going to have a resolution that has to do with Zoom and tech and the world changing. So we're going to basically put into writing what we've been doing for how long now? A year or two? Is there a motion and a second? Any other discussion? Mrs. Lambert?
In favor.
Tom Gudge.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Yes.
Sarah Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave
Castellanos? Yes.
Robert
Ochi? Yes.
William Baker?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you can't hear me. I've been having trouble with my audio. I apologize. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, question for Dan.
Yes.
I saw in the minutes that Anthony asked about inspections in March. For next year, are you being moved up?
They're moving them in to April, I thought. Late March, early April. They haven't finalized them just yet because they have a staffing issue that they need to address and a conference they need to go to. So we're moving them up, which is going to cause us to hopefully get a late mow in here before it gets too late.
That's where I was going. Yeah. Since Commissioner Godbecky asked it earlier. Okay, that's all, Mr. Chair.
All right, next up is statements to the board from the floor. If you want to help us make sure things do what they're supposed to do, please come up to the podium, state your name and address, and let's go. Once, twice. I'm all the way out of here. They're not even talk. Okay, so, all right, let's go through it. Since I always forget, Mr. Broadnecks, I don't know if you can hear me, but I see you're on mute. So anything to add, sir?
Nothing to add this time.
Mr. Whitaker.
I want to thank everyone for coming out, as usual. We had a pretty good, I would say, year with projects, and we did some project planning for next year. And just looking forward to what is to come. That'd be all.
Thank you. Mr. Wyszlinski,
nothing to add.
Mr. Gazdecki.
I just thank everyone for their attending tonight's meeting. Appreciate taking the time to see what's going on.
Mr. Nimitz.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Ochi.
Nothing to add.
Mr. Castellanos.
Yes, on what Commissioner Commissioner Whitaker said, I'd like to compliment the staff for the fine work that they did up into this year and hope they continue it. But in closing, I also like to give a condolences out to the Jewish and Christian and American citizens that's over there in the Middle East, and hoping that that conflict would end, not that our prayers are with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wicklund.
Nothing yet.
Mrs. Lambert.
Yeah.
All right, folks, next meeting is going to be in November 15th, third Wednesday of the month. Check the website for details. We need a motion to adjourn. If so moved.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Mrs. Lambert, I'm not going to let anybody discuss that.
In favor.
Yes.
Anthony Brodnick?
Yes.
Derek Hammett?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Robert
Ogie?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker? Yes. Thank you very much, everybody. Be safe. See you next month.